Going to commence our service tonight singing the hymn number 602, please. 602, I shall wear a golden crown when I get home. I shall lay my burdens down when I get home. Clad in robes of glory, I shall sing the story of the Lord who bought me when I get home. 602, please. Let's stand and we'll sing. Let's bow together, please, in prayer as we seek the Lord's face for his blessing upon us this evening. Our dear Father in heaven, we bow again in thy holy presence tonight, and we do so in the name and the merits of our blessed Savior. We realize we have nothing in ourselves whereby we could demand an audience with thee, but we thank thee for the perfect righteousness and the precious incorruptible blood of our blessed Savior. And we come in his name alone, in his worthiness alone. And what a joy we're accepted in the Beloved. We thank you for the hope that is ours. We've just been singing about it, what it will be when we get home to glory. And we pray until that day you'll keep us faithful and keep us looking on to thee, and keep us serving thee. And O God, we pray that we may know much of the blessing of the Lord. We pray for our evening service, you'll come with us and bless us. We know you promised, whether two or three are gathered together in thy name, there thou art in the midst. But so often, dear Lord, we don't know and feel the presence of the Lord. And we long tonight we may know and feel that God is here. We pray you'll tune our hearts to sing your praise. We pray as thy word goes forth, it will go forth with power. And Lord, you will speak to every heart, every life. You know where we stand with thee. You know whether we're saved or not saved. You know whether we're walking close to the Lord or afar off. We pray you'll take of the things of thyself and thy word this night and reveal thyself to us and draw out each one after thyself, that each one might know thee and love thee and serve thee. Do bless in these days, we pray, and pour out thy mighty Spirit upon us as a province, as a nation, that, O God, you would come again with blessing. You would come again with power and turn many to righteousness and by faith in Christ. We pray for this congregation, you would bless it and lead it and guide it. We think of thy servant who labors here, you'd help him, be with him. Be with him in Africa, bring him home again safely, we pray. And pray for the work of God here, it may flourish and grow with the good hand of God upon it. We pray for the sick ones tonight, that you'll bless them, each one, especially that wee boy that faces his operation this week. Lord, you'll lay your good hand upon each one, and each one will know the blessing of the Lord. We pray for our land, O God, sick with sin, that you'll come in and turn things around and save this province of ours. And, O God, keep our gospel liberties in this province until you come again. Defeat our enemies. Rise up and scatter them from us, and send us days of the right hand of our God. We look to thee for blessing, Lord. Who else can we go to? Thou alone art God. Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we look to thee for blessing and power. So be among us, Lord, in these days. Bless us in this house tonight. Help us to bring honor and glory to thy great and thy wonderful name, because we ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to sing again the hymn number 302. 302, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds, and these are red with joy, shall I lift up my head. The hymn number 302.
Oh,
We're turning tonight for our scripture reading to the book of Psalms, please. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We shall commence our reading at verse 1. I love preaching from the Psalms. I often said I could have spent my whole ministry in the book of Psalms. Such a wonderful book to study and to look into some wonderful things in it for the people of God to rejoice in. Psalm 37 verse 1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of an upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. The little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his own word to our hearts. For his name's sake, we'll have the announcements, Phil, please.
Well, can we again bid you one and all a warm and friendly word of welcome to our gospel service here in Hebron. If you're visiting with us, and we know there are a few visitors in this evening, or if you're viewing in on sermon audio, a special word of welcome to you. There is a retiring offering for the Christian school. That's our independent Christian school here in Hebron. Please remember as you leave the church this evening. Refreshments are available and will be served after the evening service, and so please remain behind for a time of fellowship together. Tomorrow we commence with our parents and toddlers at 10 a.m. Then on Thursday of this week, we have our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. It will take the form of a deputation meeting for the Trinitarian Bible Society. The guest speaker on that occasion will be our good friend and brother, Dr. David Allen. And again, there will be a special time of prayer for missionary work and for revival. On Friday, we have the youth fellowship at 8 p.m. Please pray for the young people of our church. They have just been away on their weekend away, which is an annual event, and the Lord moved amongst them. Souls were saved, and God's people were richly blessed. The leaders were blessed as they met with our young people, and there was a spirit of brokenness amongst them. So the Lord is moving amongst the youth of the church at present. Please remember also on Friday, the young child, Ethan Brownlow. Ethan goes in to hospital, to the Royal, on Friday morning. We have been remembering young Ethan. He's just a four-year-old lad. He had a lump some time back, and it was dismissed initially, and then after some further investigations, it was proved to be cancerous. He was operated upon. The lump was removed, but the surgeon just wants to go back, and he didn't believe that he captured all of the cancer at that time. And so please pray for this young boy. Pray for his parents. Pray for his grandparents, that the Lord might move in a mighty way, and that young Ethan will be raised to a full measure of health and strength. That's on Friday of this week. Please remember that family. Next Lord's Day, we meet at 8 a.m. in the morning for our early morning time of prayer, the Sabbath school at 10:45, the Bible class at 11 a.m., noonday worship is at 12 noon, and in the will of the Lord, we hope to have our pastor back with us to continue his study in the book of Judges. And the Reverend Park will also, in the will of God, be with us for the gospel service at 7 p.m. Again, we extend as a congregation our deepest sympathy and commiserations to Raymond and Marion Stevenson upon the death of Raymond's brother, Moore. Moore was a saved man. He knew and loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a difference it makes when you know that one who has gone on before had a testimony to the saving and keeping power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please remember the folks who are on the prayer list. We mentioned them all by name this morning. Remember also Dr. and Mrs. Kearns as they continue in the United States of America. Again, remember our brother Armand Tamassian. Armand has received a call to Greenville in South Carolina. He's seeking the Lord's mind on the issue at the moment. Pray that God would give him his grace, and will show him mercy, and will show him the way in which he should go. Our pastor returns this week from Uganda, and whilst he will be returning later in the week, there will be those who are going out there on the 23rd from the Missionary Council and from our Mission Board. So please remember the Reverends Gray, Harris, and also Macmillan, as well as our brothers Preston and Hamilton, as they go to Uganda this week. Again, we would encourage you to remember Douglas and his three children as they try to come to terms with the loss of Frieda, who was taken from them at such short notice. There are at the rear of the church forms for the Sabbath school camp. Again, we would encourage you to avail yourselves of them, those who normally go to that Sabbath school camp. And there are also forms for the Missionary Council weekend later on in the year. Again, please avail yourselves of those also. We did mention this morning some of these leaflets are available at the rear of the church. It's a missionary challenge evening to be held in our Lurgan congregation on Friday the 18th of May at 8 p.m. There will be a challenge going forth from the principal of the Bible College for the Whitfield College of the Bible. There will be a challenge from our Mission Board chairman. It will be a Kenyan challenge. We're going to recognise the work of Miss Kathy Walker as she retires from the missionary work in Kenya. And our own pastor will be bringing a personal challenge. Is the Word of God challenging you in the day and age in which we live? There are some leaflets at the rear of the church in relation to the testimony of Mrs. Owens. And we would encourage you again to avail yourselves of them. Our sister is here this evening. If you get her to sign them, they'll be worth an absolute fortune. And so all these services, of course, are in the will and plan and purpose of God and the subject to them.
Thank you, Phil. We're going to sing another hymn together. The hymn number 448, please. And as we sing this hymn, would you please keep your seats for the offering for the work of God in this house. 448, let us sing a song that will cheer us by the way. In a little while we're going home, for the night will end in the everlasting day. In a little while we're going home. 448, keep in your seat please for the first part of the hymn. I think I'm singing a solo and my voice is almost gone, so it doesn't sound too good. You'll never learn any younger. And maybe I thought then was the thought of parting with the money, you were losing your joy and all that, but you'll never learn this hymn any younger. It's a lovely hymn. We'll stand for the last verse and make a noise of some sort, please. It'll hide the noise that's coming from the front. Verse 4 then of this lovely hymn. Say you learned something today. If you learned nothing else, new tune. We'll bow together before we turn to God's word, please. Our dear Father in heaven, with thy word open before us, we would seek thy help and thy blessing in the preaching of the word. Grant it may be with power and much assurance in the Holy Ghost. We pray that thou wilt speak to each person, that each one might know where to stand with thee. Each person might know thy wondrous grace and power. Help people to see the wonder of thy love and salvation in Christ. And so, Lord, come tonight and bless our time around the word. Help us to make much of the Savior, that he will have all the praise and all the glory, for he alone is worthy. Here is an answered prayer for Christ's sake. Amen. It is believed that this psalm was written near the end of David's life. And you can see that from the verse 25. He says, I have been young and now I'm old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And this is a wonderful psalm, and it's full of great observation and a wise declaration of counsel and truth. And David is not only speaking by inspiration in this psalm, but also of experience and what he has observed in the lives of men and women. David is looking back over his life. He is considering the way of life of the wicked and their end. He's also considering the way of the righteous and their end. And no doubt he's thinking of men like Goliath, like Nabal, whose name is Folly, the fool he was, like King Saul, maybe even his own son Absalom that broke his heart when he was so rebellious against his father, and no doubt others were in his mind. Maybe he was thinking also of good men he have known, like Samuel and his dear friend Jonathan, and many other righteous men and women he had known. And he has come to the conclusion that it's better in life to know the Lord Jesus as Savior, to wait on him, to walk with him in life, and to know his blessing upon one's life. And so David repeats over and over again in this psalm so many precious things that are for the benefit of those who heed them and heed the word of God and come to know the Savior. As one commentator put it, there are so many precious stones or pearls strung together upon one thread to form a necklace. And I would add that when worn by the believer will beautify that life and enrich that life for the glory of God. I want to take some words out of the text of verse 10. For yet a little while, and I want it to be like a hook to hang some thoughts upon. And the first thing we're going to consider is this: for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. You have it many times in the psalm, what it says. For he says, yet a little while, the wicked shall not be. Thou shalt consider his place, and it shall not be. Verse 9 says, the evildoers shall be cut off. If you read through this psalm carefully, you will find that the wicked are described here many times and in several ways. The wicked are mentioned 13 times. Wicked devices one time. Workers of iniquity one time. Evildoers two times. Making a total of 17, just the same what you find of the works of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5 and 9, verses 19 to 21. And the end is just the same. As those who live for the works of the flesh shall not inherit the kingdom of God, so these who are mentioned as wicked in this psalm will not know the blessing of God. So what we are considering here are men and women who know not the Lord Jesus. And some of them who are fierce and violently oppose the work of God and oppose the people of God. Look at verse 12, for example. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Hebrew word for gnasheth there means to grit his teeth. They grit their teeth in anger against the righteous. Look at verse 14. The wicked have drawn out the sword. Not to look at it and see how nice it is, but to use it. They've bent their bones. They're ready to destroy, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of an upright conversation. So here are the enemies of the gospel and the people of God, and they show their hatred and show their determination to oppose God and his people. Verse 32 says, "The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him." Now, wouldn't you think, if the righteous are godly and living good and seeking to do right, would you not think they'd be willing to praise him? Why would they be willing to slay him? When the Lord Jesus went about doing good and they crucified him. And here is man in his sin and his hatred of God and hatred of all that is godly. Now, a problem may arise in some minds which bothered the psalmist as a young man. If you see it in Psalm 73, it also bothered Job. You'll find that in Job 21. And if you turn over to Psalm 73, you can see what an influence the ungodly had upon the psalmist. He said, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." Here was a psalmist allowing the ungodly to influence him. He says, "I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There are no bands in their death." The word bands mean pangs or pain or grief. He says, "Their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Their pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence cover them as a garment. They wear their wickedness around their neck. They're not ashamed of their ungodly ways. They are corrupt, speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth." Here's what they have. The rich, they think they can say and do as they like and treat people as they like. "Therefore his people return hither, waters of a full cup are wrung out to them, and they say, 'How doth God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High?' But these are the ungodly who prosper in this world. They increase in riches. Verily, he says, 'I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning,'" and so on. What a contrast with his way of life. Job was the same. Going through all the different times of difficulty and the hardships and the difficult ways, the loss of family and so on, health and strength. He says, "Wherefore do the wicked live and become old? Ye are mighty in power. Their seed is established in their sight with them. Their offspring before their eyes. Their homes are safe from fear. Neither is the wrath of God upon them," and so on. And the problem with the wicked: why do they prosper? Well, there are some answers to that. Sometimes the Lord allows men a long life to no greater damnation, because they account up by their way of life. As the second chapter of Romans tells us, they store up wrath against the day of wrath. Sometimes he allows that. Other reasons can be given why this is happening. But here we see this, with all this prospering life and how life treats them so well and how they get on well in life and everything they touch seems to turn to gold. They would have the Midas touch, as we would say. And they all seem to prosper in regard to the high places of influence. Look at the Psalm 37 and the verse 35. "I have seen the wicked in great power and spread himself like a green bay tree." Strong, established, things are going well. I suppose this should not surprise us. For the devil offered Christ all the kingdoms of the world. And if only the righteous prospered here, the wicked may be attracted naturally and materially to the kingdom of God, but that is not usually so. And David had observed these things about the wicked, but he also had seen their fall and their perdition. And he learned to look at things in life not merely from the natural and the material world, but also the spiritual and the eternal. And he saw that although they grew and they flourished for a while, like the grass, or growing and flourishing like the great strong bay tree, he saw they were cut down, soon removed, soon taken away. For example, look at verse 32, the wicked watcheth, he seeth the righteous, but he says he's soon gone, he's soon removed, he's soon opposed. For evildoers shall be cut off, verse 9 says. Here you have the end of those who were ungodly. You'll find cut off and cut down is mentioned time and time again in this psalm. Look at verse 20. The wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume in the smoke. They shall consume away. You notice even how the wicked are described. Look at verse 21. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. All these different descriptions of how the Lord describes men and how he would look at men. And he sees them cut down and he sees them cut off. He says, wait on the Lord in verse 34, keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off, and thou shalt see it. And here is the awful lot of those that know not the Lord and know not God's salvation. Listen to how Job speaks about it. He says, they spend their days in wealth, and a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? What profit should we have if we pray unto him? No, their good is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. How oft is the candle of the wicked put out? And how oft cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrows in his anger. You shall see it. God moving, God working with power. And you know, there comes a day that even in God's judgment, the Lord laughs at them. The wicked plotteth against the just. Gnash upon him with the teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. They only prosper for a while, brethren and sisters. The great eternity awaits us all. And men and women who live and die without Christ have only got a short time, only a little time. He saw that their day is coming. Don't they say the same in the first chapter of the Proverbs? The day will come when God says, I will laugh at their calamity. Imagine you in trouble and praying, and you'd come to a place that you so rebelled against God that God would no longer listen. He would laugh at you. Take the second psalm. The Lord said he'll have them in derision. It's like a four-year-old boy coming to the heavyweight champion of the world saying, I'm going to do you. He just laughs at him. Well, how much more when dust come before the Almighty and rebel against the Almighty and don't want God? God sees their end. God sees what lies ahead of them in their destruction. They shall consume away like smoke. The same is also true in our day, even regard to the Church of Jesus Christ, the professing church in this province and nation. These reprobate and apostate ministers will soon be cut off that deceive people. The same with evil politicians who lie and all the rest, and those that pursue the wicked and evil ways. They have only a little time to go, and the awful perdition awaits them forever. My dear friend, make sure you're not among this company when it comes to death. Make sure that you're not among those that know not Christ. Because it would be an awful thing to live and to die without Christ and to remain, as the 21st chapter of Proverbs reminds us, and the verse 16, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding, here's the man that rejects the gospel, shall remain in the congregation of the dead. That's the congregation you're in tonight if you're not saved. And if you die without Christ, you remain in the congregation of the dead. And you'll know the awful judgment of God upon you. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Secondly, we who know the Lord have only a little while to trust the Lord and serve the Lord. David, in his observation of the righteous and their way of life, gives good counsel. He tells them to trust the Lord while here in life. He says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." The word "fret not" means don't be incensed. Or as one man put it, "Be not moved against the malicious so that you become like them." Now, some of us who are brought up in areas where an atmosphere we had to look after ourselves when we were younger and do things that we didn't want to do but had to do. When it comes to this life we're now living, when it comes to this spiritual life and being in Christ, the works of the flesh are no good now. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal like they used to be in our ungodly days, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You're in a different warfare. You wrestle not against flesh and blood and against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You now are in a spiritual battle, and you take on you the whole armor of God that you may stand, having done all to stand. And this is where the Christian needs to, as it says here, trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Here's the importance of trusting the Lord, of waiting upon Him, of walking with Him, of fellowshipping with Him. And brethren, in this battle, we don't trust the arm of flesh. We don't trust our own abilities. We have to cast ourselves upon the Lord. We have to rest in Him. We are to trust in Him. By the psalmist says in verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." What a promise. What potential there is here of blessing. To delight in the Lord literally means to take refined pleasure, and let our most exquisite delight be in the existence, the names, the titles, the attributes, the works, the words of the Lord. In other words, you delight in Him and all that's concerned with Christ. You've only got a little time to serve Him and live for Him. He says in verse 5, "To commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." The word there for commit is used, for example, in Genesis 29 regarding Jacob when he was on his journeys. He came to a well and he rolled away the stone in the well to get water. And that's what the word means here, to roll our ways unto the Lord. He goes on to say to rest in Him. And he says, "Rest in the Lord," verse 7, "wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Don't let the world take you away from Christ. Go after Him. Rest in Him. The word rest means to be still, to be silent, not roaring, not restless, but not kicking against God, but in submitting ourselves to God and to His way. "Be still and know that I am God," says the 46th Psalm. And here's the great believer responsibility we have, to rest in the Lord, to walk with Him. Do you not see the benefits now? What potential of blessing there is for the child of God? David observed this. He said, for example, in the verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way." Would you not say that personally for us, to delight in the way of the Lord? And would it not put it in the way the Lord would delight in us if we walk in such a way? He says, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread." Here are the promise of God, the provision for all we need. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve Him. Brethren, we have only one life on this earth. This is the only time we have to serve the Lord, to lay up treasure in heaven. Isn't it wonderful that we had served the Lord without any reward. But the Lord is so gracious, he rewards his people who serve him. I often say to the young people in the past, young people, why give the best of your days to the devil and the drags of your life to the Lord? Why not give the best days of your life to the Lord and serve him and live for him? You'll find he's a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful Lord, a wonderful Master. He's great to serve. Far better live for Christ than live for the world and live for the devil. Have yourself a testimony young in life. We said about young Timothy in the church he went to. He was well reported off among the brethren. If you're going to do something for God, you need to have a testimony. For God will not use you if you have no testimony. And give your best of your days to Christ and live for him and love him. And those that walk with him will know the blessing of the Lord. Look at verse 31. The law of his God is in his heart. Here's the evidence of a saved man. He loves the word of God. He can no more deny the scriptures than deny himself. For the covenant mark of God's people, he writes his law in their hearts. When you get these people who say they're saved and they deny the word of God and turn against the word of God, they know nothing of God's salvation. The law of his God is in their heart. None of his steps shall slide. Take time for the book. Learn the end of this book. Read this book. And take time for this book. You know, when I got saved, I knew nothing about this book. I knew more about gambling and mischief and all the rest of it. But I set myself to get to know the Bible. And I read and I read and I read. Many a morning, mother would come in and the Bible, I'd be lying sleeping, the Bible still lying on my chest and the light on and all the rest. And so on. I used to go to Bible studies and work. We had an hour work time and we put a lot of planks out and we sat and studied the scriptures together. I went to a church where I was going to hear the word of God. I was brought up in a Presbyterian church and you never wouldn't hear the word of God in that place. The minister was there one day when he preached on justification by faith. The next week he'd have preached in St. Bernadette or some other stupid thing. And the people didn't know where they were, what they believed. So I got out. I knew nothing about separation, but I knew if I stayed there, I'd be back in the world. And didn't know where to go. Didn't know any Christians. And this fellow took me under his wing and took me to a church. He didn't belong to himself, but he took me to a place where a godly man preached the word, and I loved it. Couldn't get enough of it. Couldn't get enough of it. Loved it. Love it still. And here's the wonder of being saved in Christ. Look at the verses 39 and 40 of this chapter. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. The benefits of trusting in the Lord. We've only got a wee while to serve the Lord. I trust you'll use it well for Christ's sake and serve him and live for him and love him. And to have a good testimony among those you know. And could I just say, even regarding this, that those who are not saved, you've only got a short time to come to Christ. You need to heed it. I often think of people I've known in the past and spoken to of the gospel, and many have no time for the gospel. I remember when I was a young Christian and was working with this man. He was a very nice man. He was not in any way a rough man, or he wasn't unpleasant when I mentioned the gospel to him. And I suppose I was stealing my master's time. I was speaking to him more than I was working. And I felt to just speak to him and talk to him about being saved. And I don't know whether he listened or not, but the next morning, as soon as the horn went for us to start work, he dropped dead. I often thought about him. Did he listen? Did he think maybe this young fellow knew what he's talking about? Or did he take heed to what was said? The last opportunity he had before he entered into eternity, I faced him with the need to be saved, need to come to Christ, and how important it is to get saved. I was just thinking the day when I was in Cookstown when a lady started to come to our church, and she was a very proud lady, very upright woman. She wasn't saved. And I used to go to visit her, and when I opened the scriptures, and prayed with her. She would usually cry, and I would never force anything or embarrass anyone in that way. But she took a very serious form of cancer. And I was out visiting all day, and I arrived at the hospital about 5 o'clock at night. I knew in England at that time, when the nurses would have my life, they'd be serving tea and so on. So I sat outside and read my Bible for a half an hour or so. And I was reading through the 12th chapter of Isaiah. Know thou, Lord, has comforted us, and the wells of salvation, and so on. And I went and I read that to her, and about 3:30 in the morning, our phone rang. I remember it was a wild winter's night, and in those days, we were under serious threat from certain boys. And my car was in an old, dark place away down. But anyway, I went down and got the car out, went down to the hospital. And I walked in, and I said, what's wrong with you? It's about 4 o'clock in the morning. She says, I want to drink that water you were talking about yesterday. And I led her to Christ at about 4:30 in the morning. And she had only a short time to live. But she got right with God and came to Christ and drank the wells of salvation, trusted Christ her Savior and Lord. And she hadn't much time to serve the Lord after that. You know, brethren, you can lay up treasure. Why waste your life when you can live for Christ? I led an old man to the Lord not far from here. He was 84 years of age. On his birthday, I led him to Christ. And he only lived for 6 weeks. And in those 6 weeks, he witnessed more to all who come in than many a Christian witness in their lifetime. He used to train boxers. He used to, those boys came, he told them when he got saved. And Roman Celtic friends and neighbors, when he told them he got saved. He witnessed for Christ. You know, I've only got a short time to serve the Lord. Don't waste it. Make sure you put Christ first and you live for Him and you love Him. Thirdly, there's only a little time before the righteous will enter glory. The righteous only go to heaven. Well, who are the righteous, you may ask? Is it those who are religious? Is it those who have gone through a certain ceremony in the church? Is it those who are trying their best to get to heaven? Is it those who are trying to live right? No, it's not. Luther tried to get righteous by afflicting his body and crawling up steps to the blood run out of his knees and until he realized the just shall live by faith. George Whitefield almost fasted himself to death trying to get himself righteous until he realized it was by faith alone that men are made righteous in the sight of a holy God. And my friend, you can do nothing to get to heaven other than obey God's word and trust God's Son as your Savior and your Lord. Let me show you this. Look at the Psalm 32. Here's a psalm. It has the word maskil at its heading. And the word maskil means to teach or to instruct. There are 13 psalms with this title. And here's a psalm with instruction in the manner and matter of salvation. Notice how it begins. Blessed are those, is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, here's the wonder of the certainty of salvation. If there's any possibility of a sinner being lost, then you couldn't say, happy are you, or blessed are you. So here's something sure and certain you can depend upon. And here's a remarkable thing, that to a sinner, the Lord no longer imputes iniquity. Why? Because that sinner by faith has trusted Christ, and to him has been imputed Christ's righteousness. And Christ's righteousness is perfect righteousness. And Christ's righteousness is everlasting righteousness. And as Christ cannot sin, therefore that believer who believes in Christ is justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. And the Lord no longer looks upon him as a guilty sinner, but he's now accepted in the beloved and he's saved. C.H. Spurgeon says that there are the three-headed dog at the gates of hell in these verses. The word transgression, the word iniquity, and the word guile. And that will keep you from coming to Christ except those sins are forgiven. And here's how the psalmist got forgiven. Look what he says. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture has turned into the drought of summer. Selah. What's happening? Here's a man under conviction of sin. He feels as if his life is becoming like a wilderness. He can't eat or sleep. He's under what we call conviction of sin, of all the way of life he's living. And he's going on like this, and he's roaring, and he's unsettled, and he can't find peace. Then he says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, in verse 5. And mine iniquity have I not hid. I say, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto the time when thou mayest be found. You know, there can come a time when you'll not find the Lord. If the Lord withholds his grace from you, you'll never be saved. For you're saved by grace through faith and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And here's how you're saved. Here's how you're righteous. Here's how you become blessed. Here's how you're ready for heaven. By coming to know the Savior, by trusting him as your own Savior and your own Lord. And the Lord Jesus said regarding his people, he said this in John chapter 14. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. There is the equality of the Son with the Father. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I remember doing a series on the seven ifs in this chapter. First, dealing with the impeccability and truthfulness of Christ. You see, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if there's no heaven, then the Savior's a liar. And salvation's nothing. There's no God. There's no eternity. We're just like the brute beasts of the field. We die and that's it. But here's one who couldn't sin. Here's one on whom there's no guile found in his mouth. And he says, if it were not so, I'd have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Here's the certainty of heaven for those who are trusting in Christ. We're going to a mansion. My sister-in-law was telling me about her sister died, was buried by this Church of Ireland minister. They said, we're going to heaven for caravans. Well, I said, you can stuff your caravan. I'm not going to a place of pure gold to live in a caravan. I know the word there that used for mansion, the same word used, for example, in the verse 23 for abode. But you think the Lord would not be gracious to his people and richly bless his people? We're going to be with Christ and be with him for the eternal day. Look what he says in this great chapter 37 of the Psalm. Look at verse 18. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Forever with Christ. Forever with the Lord, we sing, amen, let it be. Here's the wonder of God's salvation. We're going to be with Christ. Look at the verse 24. Here's the preservation of his people. Verse 24, though we fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Look at the verse 28. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but their seed of the wicked shall be cut off. People tell me, you know, in coming to Christ, I couldn't keep it. Well, you're dead, right? You couldn't keep it. I couldn't keep it. But it's the Lord that keeps his own. He saves us and he keeps us and he'll bring us home to glory. He has prayed for it. He has died for his people. He shall see his seed and shall be satisfied. He shall see his seed in election. He shall see his seed in supplication. He shall see his seed in regeneration. He shall see his seed in justification. He shall see his seed in glorification. That's why the Lord was satisfied. He hasn't lost one yet for whom he died. He'll bring them all safely home. And when you're in Christ, you have this certainty of being with Christ for the eternal day. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. He says in the verse 37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. The end of the ungodly are torments and weeping and wailing in hell forever. In a mature life, in a mature eternity, in a little while you'll be in eternity, but where? With Christ, by faith, far better? Or in hell without him as a rebel, without God, without Christ, lost forever without God's salvation? My friend, I would urge you tonight to be wise. Be wise. The great eternity awaits us all. Make sure tonight you're in Christ and you're saved by the grace of God through faith. My wife's grandmother wrote a lot of poems. She wrote them on backs of envelopes and sung them. So one of the family got them published, just for family only. And there's one here I was going to read to you tonight. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And it says, I'm standing on the threshold and knocking at the door. The latch is on the inside, but for I have been here before. I bring to you glad tidings of joy from heaven above, a full and free salvation through Christ's redeeming love. If you will only let me, how gladly I'll come in. I'll take away your burden and give you peace within. If you refuse to open, then sadly I'll depart. I will not force admission to any human heart. Should you go on rejecting, how sad will be your fate. And when you call for mercy, alas, 'twill be too late. Accept the gospel message that Jesus in today. For time is quickly passing, you have not long to stay. If you accept the Savior, the bells of heaven will ring. And then for very gladness, heaven will hear the angels sing. What will you do with Jesus? In a little while, life will be over. We're in eternity. If you want to be with Christ, you need to be in Christ by faith alone. Trust him. You'll find he's a wonderful Savior. You've got a wonderful and eternal and sure salvation in Christ. We're going to close the meeting tonight and we'll sing the hymn 230. 230. Life at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf being tied. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed. Be in time. 230, please. and not force you into anything or persuade you in anything. Other than if you want to be talk about spiritual things, I will help you as much as I can. But my friend, you need Christ. Trust the Savior. He's a wonderful Savior. And it's a wonderful salvation for those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus. Our dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the gospel, the good news of God's salvation, the good news that sinners can be saved, their sins forgiven, all of their sins, and not forever, so that they're never brought against them again forever. Help people to see the wonder of thy love and mercy. Be gracious to those that are outside of Christ, and before it be, Lord, forever too late, give them grace to call upon thee. So part us in thy fear, and with thy favor, and give us the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.